Hey, I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Thank you for joining us again for another episode of Prairie Beat.
So this week on the show, we wanted to break format a bit.
Yes. So obviously, immigration enforcement has been at the top of the news cycle for a few weeks now. And today, we are actually going to hear from a Minneapolis resident about what they're seeing on the ground there. I was able to catch up with Jace Riggin this morning. We actually grew up in the same town, so we know a lot of the same people. And he provided us with this firsthand account.
We both grew up in the Devil's Lake area, and I think all North Dakotans are really proud of our community and how we take care of our neighbors. And when I was looking for college, I moved away to go to a small ELCA, Lutheran-affiliated college in southern Minnesota to earn my bachelor's degree. And when I started working afterward, I found a lot of opportunity and, you know, good paying jobs in Minnesota and ended up staying. What has kept me there is I've also found a very similar close-knit community of caring neighbors and people who deeply want to take care of one another. Over the past almost 15 years now, I've been putting down roots and recently bought a home in North Minneapolis with my partner. My neighborhood is comprised of a mix of single-family homes like I live in, as well as duplex and then some rental properties. It's a diverse socioeconomic community comprised of Somali, Hmong, Latin American immigrants, as well as college-educated folks like myself, and then people who have lived there for generations. We were welcomed by our neighbors very warmly. These are people who we have dinner with, wave to in the morning across the street, or say hello, how you doing, from across the alley. Similar idea of you shovel the sidewalk when you know there's a new baby, or when somebody's having a health issue. We know each other, and we deeply care for one another.
I want to talk about Operation Metro Surge, obviously. You know, it's been going on for about a month now in Minnesota. Have you had any encounters with ICE or Border Patrol?
I was quickly, found a need from my values growing up as a Lutheran, care for your neighbor. Seeing that people who were, in fact, legal immigrants, had legal status, were being targeted, decided to become a constitutional observer. And I want to be clear what this is. This is standing in a public space, attempting to record law enforcement in order to ensure that due process and laws are being followed when someone is in fact being detained. This is not civil disobedience. That is a different classification of action and behavior. And this is not active protest. That is also a different classification. On the morning of January 11th, it was a Sunday, I and my partner received a text that let us know that ICE agents were actively staging, which that means is they're parking, getting out of their vehicles, and walking around about eight blocks from our home, just north of our home. This notification comes from grandmas, our neighbors we trust, people we know, pastors, watching out their windows, being on lookout for their neighbor. These are not radical protesters. These are not violent rioters. These are your everyday Minnesotans just simply watching their neighborhood and caring for their neighbors. And so we decided it was proper in our neighborhood to go care for our neighbors and legally observe the law enforcement activity, which in this case was ICE. What I saw that day was a no judicial warrant entry into Garrison Gibson's home. This happened over the course of about 2 hours. Multiple agents arrived, ranging from about 15 to 20 at any given moment. There was about an hour of just observing agents where people were making noises, blowing their whistles, attempting to alert the community to their presence. And then it became apparent that things were escalating. Multiple people were sprayed directly in the face, some engaging in protest behavior, not touching or obstructing the pathway of officers, but simply yelling or trying to gauge in conversation, asking why they were doing what they were doing or attempting to plead with them. Two individuals were sprayed directly in the face while not making contact with a vehicle and without giving adequate ability to disperse. I had to render aid to help, and one of the individuals I became concerned about due to their inability to catch their breath, and we did need to call for EMS attention. At this point in time, agents began to use a battering ram to try to enter into the home. They had large weapons drawn, as well as pepper ball. They look like paintball guns. They shoot pepper balls at the ground. So they're both less lethal and lethal weapons available. In order to ensure that EMS had a safe scene, we did need to move the people who had been impacted by both tear gas and pepper spray about a block north. Other individuals began engaging in civil disobedience, and this is where you have decided to obstruct or break a law in order to prevent something you view as morally reprehensible. And this involves maybe putting your body in front of an officer or in front of a car. This is not violence. This is not rioting. This is a deep tradition in America, and it is a moral tradition for individuals who may object. Again, it is peaceful. It is not violent. This is different than a protester who might be not engaging in obstruction or stopping of an officer, who is simply voicing their displeasure. Maybe they are saying shame. Maybe they are pleading for them to stop. Maybe they are chanting. And so there were three actions I was witnessing happening. Four, you know, active community aid, legal observing, protesting, and then civil disobedience. What I did later see was the removal of Garrison Gibson from his home. Multiple other individuals attempting to engage in civil disobedience to stop that removal from him in the home. They were sprayed with chemical agents, the chemical irritants as well, and then aid was needing to be rendered by multiple people there. Garrison Gibson was taken away, and individuals did follow the ICE vehicles while still engaging in protest and legal observation. This was not violent. This was strategic, calm neighbors engaging in an act of love and concern for a neighbor, which in the end, it did turn out to be a illegal entry and detainment of an individual who is here on lawful status without a judicial signed warrant. These are the constitutional violations that are playing out. They are First Amendment, they are Second Amendment, they are Fourth Amendment violations. Due process is not being followed for both U.S. citizens as well as legal residents and those who are here possibly without legal status. And that is what is at issue for many Minnesotans, is the lack of due process. And so scenes like this that I have witnessed are what are playing out across the metro, where caring neighbors are simply engaging in a variety of behaviors to aid their neighbors through food, shelter, other forms of maybe it is rent assistance if they are sheltering in place. They are attempting to legally observe, which is a constitutionally protected behavior. Even if people don't like it, it is constitutionally protected.
What is the current status of your neighbor, Mr. Garrison?
He was detained after being initially released on a judge's order and then released again.
Now, here in North Dakota, you know, a lot of folks are watching social media, maybe whatever news media, to form their opinions on what's been going on in Minnesota. But, you know, as we've been discussing, you are living this. It's your reality daily. What would you like your friends and neighbors from back home to know about what your community, what your state is experiencing right now?
I think I want you to talk with Native elders in North Dakota, because the violation of constitutional rights that we're seeing in Minnesota are not new. Indigenous people have been suffering at the hands and being resilient and surviving at the hands of the federal government violating due process rights for a very long time. And so I want that to be a starting and grounding place, that what's happening in Minneapolis by immigration enforcement and CBP isn't new. It is just a new expression.
What are your hopes for the future for your community and your state? You take the skyway.
Minnesota is incredibly resilient. We are a strong state. There is a rich tradition of civic participation, art, public funding of community needs, and neighborly support. There's also multiple religious traditions at work across the Twin Cities and secular communities that do this work and amplify it. So we're good. We got this. What will be the end of the federal occupation? Because I feel the tide is turning, but I think that we need allies, and we need people who might have agreed with this, who now disagree, to understand that you can say no, and you can be part of stopping what is happening and the violations that are happening by Immigration and Customs and CBP right now in our country.
Thank you so much for your time today, Jace. I really appreciate you joining us.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Well, a riveting account there, Danielle. It's nice to have somebody bear witness from our home state. Thank you for bringing this story to light today.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're keeping our eyes on this story and all all the other stories making news from our region as well. So tune into Prairie Public for more of those stories or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, so that's it for this week on Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.
I'm from the land where doves cry. It rains down and purple eyes. Seep into my skin, internalize the funk, I realize. I'm the next to supply this MN flow. No, I'm one of the nicest. Took a bite out the game thing, bigger than when West.